Don't be conformed with full knowledge. In other words, now you know. There's an understanding of what God has done for you. Now you have knowledge a little more of how to live life. Now you have knowledge. See, you have knowledge now you didn't have. Okay? And so now God understood being conformed in ignorance because we had no choice. We walked according to the course of this world, the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air. Okay? That wasn't blood-bought ground. Follow me? You were in the world. Now when you accept Jesus Christ, you now walk on blood-bought ground, blood-bought authority. And with that authority carries responsibility. And so we can no longer, what he's saying here is, do not allow your minds to be conformed with knowledge like you used to be conformed in ignorance. Get it? Yes. That's what he's saying. Because why? Being conformed in knowledge is worse in the experiential realm. It's worse than being conformed in ignorance. And we got that from 2 Peter chapter 2. This chapter is talking about false teachers, false prophets, and their influence on people in this world. It says in verse 20, for if after, verse 19, promising them, talking about false teachers, false prophets, and there's a plethora of them in Christianity today, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. Well, absolutely. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. And now we're going to cover that. I might get to that a little later. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that right now. That's in the next session. I might get to it. But look at verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, in what? The defilements. Would that be, would a good part of that be the corrupt thoughts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, right? The corrupt desires, the corrupt thought life, certainly, certainly a big part of it. So, if they are entangled again in them and are overcome, and the word overcome in the Greek means to be made inferior to be subdued by. People who live addicted to thoughts that aren't godly and they can't get out of them, or they haven't learned how to, or they haven't submitted their heart to get there yet, whatever it may be, they are made inferior to things that Jesus Christ defeated at the cross. Everything that could enslave mankind and make them a slave to was defeated when Jesus Christ ascended on high. And so now we are living, basically, and not living according to the responsibility that God provided for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're now being conformed in knowledge like we were conformed in ignorance. And that last state is worse. Whatever we are made inferior to, we can no longer now have Christ in the place in our heart that he so deserves to be in. Amen? And that's the key here. It's like Jesus Christ said long ago, do not call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. So we're going to cover this a little later. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But the bottom line I want to show you here is the last state, what state? Being conformed in knowledge is worse than being conformed in ignorance. Why? As I've shared this before, but it's just so important to understand. You basically cannot enjoy either world now. Now you're trapped between the material and the spiritual. You can't go for the gusto like you used to with sin, because you have the Spirit of God in you that convicts you, that gives you conscience, that gives you conflict regarding living improperly. It will cause a conflict in you. So you can't fully enjoy the things of this world. You can't go for the gusto anymore, because you know better. You have knowledge now. You also, conversely, cannot fully enjoy the realm of the Spirit. You cannot be empowered. It's like that carrot dangled in front of the horse, right? Never seems to get there. Like a lot of things, God's people read about the promises of God, about the good things God wants to give them. That God wants you to bear this wonderful fruit that will change and renew and transform us. You don't experience that, though. You experience frustration and defeat and resentment and anger or bitterness. Because you see what the Bible says, but you experience something very different all the time. And that is a horrible place to live. And that state has such conflict in it that either a person will go one way or the other. You can't stay in that state too long before you go one place or the other. You either just go back to the world and sear your conscience, or you'll make a change. And that's what we want to be able to do for people. Bring them to a point of recognition, understanding, and change. Because you can't stay in between both realms, the spirit and the material. So God's people who have knowledge, but get overcome in knowledge and conformed in knowledge, that state for them is worse than before they got saved. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? You cannot enjoy the fullness of God. You experience something very different than what you read. And God doesn't want that. And it's like the verses say, if we went on, verse 21, it would be better for them not to have known. Now, it's talking from the perspective of this life, not from eternity. Because obviously, it's always better to have known to be saved, right? For eternity. But in this life, it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Bottom line is, you're overcome by the same things you used to be overcome with. You're conformed in knowledge like you were conformed in ignorance. Too many of God's people are living here. And God wants to move them away from that and out of it. And we've got to learn how to do that. If you don't, there's no other option but to feel rejected by God, blame God, be bitter, resentful, angry, hostile, lonely, empty, and everything else. Because you read something that you are not experiencing ever. Why? Because your mind is in a place of hostility toward God. He cannot work with you in that state. How many follow us? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. What happens to people who stay conformed in knowledge to their former lusts? Conformed with full knowledge, but they stay conformed and bound by their former desires, their former mindset, their thoughts. What happens to those people? What do they manifest from their life? What do they project from their life? You cannot project something you do not have. You cannot give something you do not have. And I have a feeling that a lot of people are reading into what they see in people's lives as God's will by what they see in people's lives. But I want to show you something. I want to introduce a concept to you here in Romans chapter 12 that I believe is right here to be read by anybody who has eyes to see. God's will can never be proven through any individual, who don't get their minds renewed and transformed. Now you're going to read that with me right here. Romans chapter 12. The only people on earth who ever prove what God's true will is, that it is good and acceptable and perfect, are those who don't allow their minds to be conformed in knowledge to this age. If you allow your mind and thought to be conformed in knowledge, what will happen inside of that person? Will they experience God's blessing, God's fruit, God's promises? No. They cannot ever have God's expression of his will through their lives. Now follow this. This is just big stuff here. Look what it says. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorphomai. From which we get the English word metamorphosis, which is a complete change. Like the caterpillar into the butterfly, we have a complete change that happens. There is a transformation, a complete change. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Well, if you allow your thoughts to be conformed, you can never be transformed. How many follow that? Impossible. Now, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It didn't say you renew your mind. You cannot renew your mind. I cannot renew my mind. That is impossible. And we're going to see that in the next few hours, where the renewal really comes from. And it's not us doing it. This is just stating a fact. God wants us to be transformed, and the route of transformation is through what? Our minds getting what? Renewed. So the route to transformation, to you becoming a radically different and new human being, is through your mind getting renewed. Now, look what it says at the end of the verse. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you, who's the you there? The person who's transformed. The person who is transformed and their mind is completely renewed. So that you, in that transformed state, in that state of a renewed mind, that you may prove, not people who are conformed in knowledge. How many see it? Not people who are conformed in knowledge to their former thought life. They cannot prove what God's will is. They send out confusing mixed messages. Oh, Lord. Who are the people who prove what the will of God is? That which is good and acceptable. The word acceptable in the Greek means well-pleasing. Who are the people who prove, who put it to the test and prove it, what God's will is? Those who are transformed by the renewing of their mind. They prove what God's will is, that which is good and acceptable or well-pleasing and perfect. These are the only people where God's will can be expressed fully from, through. If we allow our minds to be conformed with knowledge to this age, to our former desires and lusts and thoughts, we are enslaved to them, and God can never now express his will for you to others. Because you can only express that which you are. And now, rather than you proving that God's will is beautiful and good, look at what happened to you. You're transformed. You're not the same person anymore. This fruit in you used to be full of hate. Now you love. You used to be all stressed out. Now you have peace. That's God's good and well-pleasing and perfect will of God being expressed through your life. Hallelujah. But people who allow their minds to be captured and conformed with knowledge now, what happens to them? Can they prove what God's will is through their life? No. They send out mixed messages. What they're reading through these people's lives is a lot of hurt and bondage and chaos. and bondage and things God doesn't want in their life. Who are the people who prove what God's will is? Those who allow their minds to not be conformed to this world, but learn how to get transformed with their minds renewed. Those are the people who literally prove what God's will is. Because God can have his fullest expression through those people's lives. Do you follow that? How much clearer could it be? How clear is that? How clear is that? Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. How different does God want you to become from your old man nature, that old nature? That word transformed in the Greek, it's a long Greek word, but it's the same word used in the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured. Was there a change in his appearance? Did he give off something radically different than he used to be? That's the same Greek word, transfigured, transformed. Completely changed. John chapter 8. What is the single most important thing in understanding where we're going now? What is the single most important thing a Christian must learn to do to become a disciple and bear the fruit of the Spirit and be transformed and not allow darkness to become part of their life? John chapter 8, verse 12. Here's a great verse. It's going to just go from where I want to really go from this verse. Jesus again spoke to them saying, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we learn how to follow Jesus Christ, and if we don't learn how to take our thoughts captive and take our mind back from where the enemy's had it in any area of our life, if we don't learn how to do this, then we can't follow Jesus Christ. And what does this say? He's the light of the world. If you learn how to follow me, Jesus said, you will not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. So then what is the single most important thing we must learn to do to follow Christ, to become his disciple and not walk in darkness and learn how to transcend this age we live in that is run by demonic influence? How do we transcend it? How do we overcome it? How do we not get captured by it? The key is to learn how to follow the Lord. But in that's wonderful, but where does it distill down to? What is the thing? Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. What is the thing we must learn to do above everything else when thoughts come our way? When thoughts come in our mind, remember now you have some knowledge. Now when thoughts come in your mind that are contrary to God, contrary to his light, contrary to his word, contrary to truth, what are you to do with that thought? You must understand what is happening then. You must learn how to take those thoughts captive. We're going to get to that verse in a little bit. We must learn how to guard our minds. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Singularly, some of the greatest section of Scripture written in the Bible, if we take it serious, if we literally have faith and believe God here, on these verses. My son, give attention to my words. What is God saying by that? You got to be reading, don't you, a little bit? You got to have your mind in his word a little bit, to seeking the things above, seeking the things of the Bible. Give attention to my words. What's the enemy after? Everything but that. So what's the enemy going to do? He's going to razzle and dazzle our senses. He's going to try to seduce and allure. No question about it. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do you surround yourself with godly people who can teach you the word of God, who can speak truth into your life? You have to incline your ear to his sayings. You have to submit your heart. You have to be submissive. You have to be seeking, hungry. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. When thoughts come in your mind that are contrary to the Bible, what are they threatening to do? They are threatening to take your eyes off of God's word and on to something else. Now, a random thought here and there, not going to do a lot. But I want to tell you something. Habits get started with thoughts. And this is how people, when they don't take every thought captive, he didn't say, every 10,000th of a thought you get, take it captive. He said, take every thought captive. Why? If you don't get into a discipline of capturing your thoughts to truth, you will begin thinking on those thoughts. You will begin being occupied by those thoughts. And after a while, your thoughts will determine which way your feet start going in life. This is how we're going to see that. I don't know if I'm going to get there in the first session, but this is where we're going. So look what it says. Do not let them depart from your sight. Whose job is that? That's our job. That's our responsibility. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Whose job is that? Ours. What does the enemy want to do? Get them out from your heart. Why? He wants you to be conformed in knowledge. Nothing he likes more than capturing God's people conformed in knowledge whose house is half built. Because he just parades them in the world. What a joke, Christianity. What did Jesus say? Before you build a house, sit down and count the cost. Don't start building and then halfway through the project say, we can't finish this. And he's not talking about houses here. He's talking about your spiritual life with him. How many people has that happened to? Where they accept the Lord, they get saved, and then they just get overcome by life. They don't control, they're not taught the word of God. They don't know how to control their thoughts, their mind. They don't know how to get transformed. And all of a sudden now they're overcome. And the last state is worse because now they say they're Christians, but they give off everything but Christian. Who mocks that? The enemy? The adversary? He loves nothing more to do than that to God's people. You follow this? What are they going to say if that house gets half filled? Hey, look at that person who built the house. And they start mocking. They laugh. They ridicule. Here, that person's a believer. And look how he really is living his life. Ha, 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 ha. Does it happen? All the time. All the time. We have to learn how to keep the word of God in our heart. And the word heart in the Hebrew, you can just translate mind and be very safe. It's the seat of your affections and your passions and your desires. It's your mind. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, they are life to those who find them, and health. That's another class, biblical immunity, we teach that. Boy, the word of God in your mind can bring health to your physical body, and health to your whole body. Now, here's the verse we want to get to. Verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Once again, substitute the word heart for mind. The seat of your feelings, the seat of your affections, your mind, your thought. Watch over. Good, that's fine, that's a good translation, but another translation in the Hebrew you can bring out there is to guard. Guard your heart or your mind. Guard what you think about. With all what? Diligence. Another translation for that I like a lot is, above all else that you do. Above all else. Above everything else you do. So what are we learning here? In other words, this is above all else. So what's before this? Get it? If this is above everything else you do, what's before this? Nothing! This is where it's at. Above everything else you do, guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Context. How do you do that? Verses 20 through 22. Obviously. What does it say? My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So how do we guard our minds? How above everything else? How do we guard our minds? By putting God's thoughts in our minds consistently with a disciplined approach, because does it take discipline to keep them where you put them? Yes. It's not that hard to put them in your mind, but I'll be darned, that's where the battle goes. Do you keep them in your heart? So when those thoughts of doing this, and thoughts of doing this, and thoughts of this, and thoughts of that come in, do they begin replacing truth quickly? And do you begin incubating those thoughts, thinking on those thoughts, living in those thoughts, fantasizing about those thoughts? And now, what's happened? Are they in your heart anymore? No, they're gone. No, they're gone. And that is the formation and basis of every stronghold of the enemy he's ever formed in people, right there. Strongholds are made of thoughts that were not disciplined to truth. And when you practice things that are not godly, after a while, the enemy perches out and just is punitive in his punishment from that position you've given him in your life. See, strongholds are places we've given the enemy to hide in us. I'm gonna cover that next session. Strongholds are places we've given the enemy to hide in us. And we'll see that in the next session. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Whose job is that? God's? No, it's ours. So when that lustful thought comes in, or you see something in life, or a television commercial, or a TV show, or a movie, or this, or that, or a friend, or a family, or this, or that, and they come in, what are you supposed to do? And they challenge the base of what you're about, of what you think about. What are you supposed to do with them? Gee, just kind of think on them, ruminate on them, meditate on them a while, right? No! What are you supposed to do? Take every thought captive. You replace it with truth. You replace it with the Word of God. And by doing that, you are guarding your heart. Why is that so important? Why does God say, above everything else you do, guard your thoughts, guard your mind, guard... Why? Ooh, look at the end of the verse. Why is this true? Guard your heart above all else, or with all diligence. Why? For from it, from your heart. Translations vary here, but we're going to bring out the shade of understanding the Hebrew with it. For from it, from your heart, the King James says, are the issues of life. That's okay. That's good. This translation says, from it, from the heart, flow the springs of life. I think that's closer to the Hebrew. The springs. Another translation I read, I liked even more than both of them. It uses the word wellspring. A wellspring. Does anyone know what a wellspring is? A wellspring is a source of supply. It's a source of supply. The literal understanding of this word in the Hebrew means the outgoings or the goings forth of life. So from the heart are the outgoings of life, are the goings forth of life. Could we say those are your actions? That's what you act on. That's what you're living in. That's the direction your life goes in. Yeah, that's what it's saying. So what thoughts you occupy your mind with, what thoughts you feed on, what thoughts you think about, determines the state of your heart and builds the state of your heart. And your heart is where the outgoings of life are sourced from. So the source of supply to your life, how you live your life, your actions, how you act, how you respond, is based upon what's in your heart. And what's in your heart is based and sourced from what thoughts you continually feed on. So thoughts build the heart, and the heart determines which direction your life goes. It's a wellspring. It's a source of supply to your life. Oh, my. How many just see the word heart taking a much higher dimension of importance in the Bible? So what does God say? Guard it. It's a citadel. It's a storage place. It's a source of supply for your life. It will determine the direction you live in, how you walk, how you respond, how you act, how you do things. The way you do things is determined by what's in your heart. If you don't like where your life's going, then what do you got to do? You've got to change the condition and state of your heart. And you do that by changing what thoughts you are feeding your heart and your mind, what thoughts you think on, because that is what builds the state of our heart. And we'll show you that as we go on in this class more. Without a question, it's the wellspring of your life, your heart. So if you don't like where your life is now, what's the wellspring to it? It's your heart. It's your mind. What are you feeding on? What are you thinking on? Where do you allow your mind to go? Where do you allow your mind to go? That will build the state of where your heart is. And where your heart is, where you act from. Absolutely. So if you don't like what's going on in your life right now, you've got to change the condition of your heart. You've got to do what God says. You've got to repent. You've got to change your mind. You've got to turn around. This is why we have to understand that the battle is for our mind. The battle is for your mind, because your mind or your heart is the supply route to your life. If you don't guard it, it's going to be occupied. Something's going to occupy that heart of yours. It doesn't stay in neutral long. It's going to be occupied by something, someone, something. And I wrote this down. The heart is built on what thoughts we continually feed it. What thoughts we hold on to and discipline our minds to think on is what builds the heart, which determines which direction our life will go, our outgoings, our goings forth. It's that simple. So the enemy knows this, does he not? Has the enemy read this verse? Does the adversary know this verse? Sure. So what's he going to do? He's going to orchestrate this world, because he's the God of this age. He's going to orchestrate life and make it hard to keep your mind on the things above. If he can occupy our thought life, he can condition our heart. And if our heart is the wellspring and source of supply to our life, we are in a load of trouble if we don't guard it with God's word. Can you see that? Does he cause a lot of physical disease this way? Legions. Does he cause a lot of mental disease this way? Legions. Absolutely. He does not want us conformed in knowledge. You see, Jesus Christ, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus Christ taught us, listen closely, we're going to close this session out in a few minutes. This is really paramount, singularly important in the Word of God to understand this. So when you go to work during the day, do you think about what you're thinking about? Do you guard your thoughts? Do you guard your mind? When you're around people, when you're around situations, it could be even family, whatever it is, do you guard your thoughts? Are you aware of that? Are you aware of what you're thinking? Do you guard it? Do you realize when these thoughts come in that are crazy? I know a man one time said he was at a park. He's a Christian. He was at a park. I was just holding his child over a little creek. He was on a little bridge, and he had a little child in his arms. And he said, the thought just crossed his mind, drop your baby in the water. I'm sure God put that there, right? Do these thoughts come in people's minds? Hurt yourself, cut yourself, do this, do that, take this, do that. Where do these thoughts come from? We have to understand the God of this age. He is in authority in this world. The world is evil because we walk according to the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the airwaves are greatly controlled by the enemy. Think about it. The movie industry portraying the wonderful, virtuous qualities of morality of the gospel. Give me a break. Movies. How about television? Is that portraying the wonderful values of Christianity? How about a lot of radio stations with the music? Yeah, we're really promoting. See, what's happening here? It's all designed to control your thoughts, your mind. Why? To condition your heart, because out of that heart you will act on where your heart is, and now the enemy got you practicing things you shouldn't be doing, and after a while a stronghold gets built, and it's got a stronghold on you. How many follow this? How important is it? Where's Jesus all the while? Taking a vacation? Where's Jesus? Lounging? No. You have rendered him unable to do what he is in there to do. You have made it a hostile place, and he cannot function in that environment. If you sow to your flesh, you will reap of your what? Flesh. All the while, Jesus is inside of that Christian, sitting there with all the power from the Holy Spirit, just there to give you freedom and liberty and blessing. But notice, it just doesn't happen automatically. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Greatest tragedy in life is we got Jesus Christ living inside of us through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, power from on high, authority over this world, and we allow our minds and our thoughts to be conformed in knowledge. And now, rather than us living in the blood-bought property of Christ, we are in a worse state than we were before salvation. Because now we got conflict. Now we can't enjoy either world. You following this? Is this making sense? Is this where people live their lives? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus Christ taught us in this section of Scripture to center our thought life in the spiritual and not in the material realm. If you show me somebody who's chronically anxious or fearful or afraid, I'll show you somebody whose thought life is centered on the material realm. Would you agree? So we've got to learn, if we really want to follow him and not walk in darkness and have the light of life, then you've got to learn a wonderful principle our Lord taught us. Your thoughts are your treasure. Your thoughts are your treasure. And this is what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, taught us. In closing this session out, I want to close in this section of scripture. Now, the Western interpretation from the Western culture and mindset misses the real impact of what our Lord and Savior is teaching us here. And the rest of the Bible proves it out definitively. To the Western mind, the treasure in these verses is often translated money. Now, it can become money, and absolutely true. But the essence, when we distill this down, the essence of what our Lord was teaching us is the thoughts come first. And the thoughts is what our treasure is. In the Eastern mindset, from which the Bible was written in, by the way, the thoughts were our treasure. What we value most is what we think about most. Think about it. Just think on that 1 minute. Think about it. Let's prove this out. What you think about most, what you're occupied with most in your mind, is what you're valuing. Would you agree? That's where your value system is. That's what you're valuing. Absolutely. When I wanted to be a professional basketball player, you know what my mind was occupied with? It wasn't tennis. My mind was occupied with what I wanted to do. That was my value. That's what I valued. And my life went in that direction. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to see this. What you value most is what you think about most, whether good or bad. If a person is always anxious, what are they anxious about? They're anxious about they cannot control something in front of them. They're afraid of something that's going to happen. They can't control a variable here. They are anxious. They're projecting out into the future and trying to control something they cannot control, and thus they are anxious. And now they are consumed with that, and they think about, or they need more money, or they need a better job, or they want more money. They want a bigger house. They want this. They want that. They want this. Our minds get consumed with that. My friends, whether we understand it or not, that has become our treasure. And this is going to answer why many people are unable to abide in the vine. We won't be able to get to it this session. Next session, we're going to cover that. But I want to introduce this concept to you in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus Christ said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Treasures on earth. Treasures, once again, understanding the symbolic usage of that word in the Eastern mind, the treasure was always a man's thought life, what he thought on. Because what a person thinks on is what he values, where he's putting his value in. Do not store up for yourselves treasures or thoughts on earth. Earth is always representative of the realm of the physical or the material, the matter, things of matter or material world. Do not store up for yourselves thoughts on the material world. He didn't say never think on them, did he? He didn't say don't treasure them, don't store them up. Okay? Don't make them your priority. Do not store up for yourselves thoughts on the material world. Why? Why? Conversely, in verse 20, he says, but store up for yourselves thoughts or treasures where? In heaven. Heaven represents the realm of the spirit realm. Well, what book do you know on this earth gives you access to the spiritual realm, to the one true God, the Bible? So we've got to learn this dynamic principle. What Jesus is saying here is, do not store up for yourselves thoughts on the material things of life, where moth and rust destroy, and where doubts break in and steal, but store up for yourselves thoughts in heaven, thoughts in the spirit realm. That is where our mind must be centered. Our thoughts must be centered. If you want to live in the realm of the spirit, what mindset does it require according to Romans chapter 8? The mindset those who walk according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who walk according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So it requires a mindset. And that's what Jesus Christ is teaching us right here. And in the next session, we're going to fully develop this for you. God bless you.